Amen. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to a scripture that we all should be familiar with. If you're not, you should be. You need to be. It's an important scripture in a time when there's so many threats about us. It's Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 10. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 10. If I would title this sermon, I would title it Living Above the Snake Line. Say it with me, Living Above the Snake Line. It doesn't mean a lot to us here in Florida because there's no place to go to get away from the possibility of a snake showing up of some form and some kind. But in Colorado, in the real estate business in Colorado, people are looking for vacation homes in those mighty, wonderful mountains of Colorado. And they ask them, when they start asking about a vacation home with a view, do you want it above or below the snake line? Because there is a part where it's just too cold most of the year, and snakes just don't like to live there. So you're not going to find snakes above the snake line. So if snakes are your problem, amen. Hello. I'm at church preaching. And they just sang happy birthday to you on the answering service, and that's why my name showed up. So you go to your answering service and you listen to your birthday song. And you do it right now. And don't call me here. I love you. Happy birthday. Say it. Happy. Bye-bye. Please turn your cell phones off at this time. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm glad she called. Living above the snake line. It's where you're safe. If a snake is your problem, just live above the snake line. And you don't have to worry about the snake anymore. I'm saying that because there's something happened in the book of Genesis to this evil entity that took a form to tempt Adam and Eve. Eve initially and then Adam through Eve. But behind all of that, there was this fallen angel that became the devil. By the way, his name, as we know it, that represents such evil, Satan and Diablos and Lucifer is the first name that occurs in Scripture to describe him. Lucifer is not a bad name. However, I have never and hope I never hear a child named Lucifer. Can you say amen? But Lucifer's not a bad name. It became a bad name when it was associated with a fallen angel. But Lucifer simply means a light bearer. Someone who brings light. Isn't it amazing that the light bearer, a great, high-ranking archangel, became the prince of darkness? And through him darkness came upon the world, and darkness came on all men. The Bible said the God of this world has blinded. He used darkness to do it. He's darkened. He's blinded the minds of men, lest they would see the glory of the gospel and be saved. So when God saved you, he first had to open your eyes and let you see. So when the Bible said the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to open the eyes of the blind, initially we think of the physically blind. We think of Bartimaeus. You know, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. In his physically blind eyes, we think of the man who went and washed his eyes. Jesus did a strange thing. I mean, you can't put God in a box and say he has to do this the way and this way like religion tries to make him. One time he just speaks the word and a man's eyes pop open. Another time he spits on the ground and the dust. He takes dust in his hand. He spits on the dust. He works it together into kind of like a mud. And he puts it in the eyes of a blind man and says, go wash your eyes. Wash this spittle and dust out of your eyes in the pool of Siloam. And when he washed that out, he saw perfectly. Why did God do that? Why did he? Well, you know, you can speculate all you want to, mainly because he's God. You know, great discovery you need to make that he's God. Amen. And his ways are above our ways. Somebody say, how high? The scripture said as high as the heavens are above the earth. They're not past finding out if we surrender to his will and put our trust in him. But don't try to figure it out, because you can't figure it out. Amen. Hallelujah. So God is God, and he's sovereign, and he has a purpose in everything. Amen. So anyway, when he opens the eyes of the blind, when it says the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he has anointed me to set the captive free, to set at liberty those that are bruised, he's talking about Satan holding people in bondage, sin holding people in bondage, shackling them. Can you say amen? And then he says to open the eyes of the blind. Now, he doesn't jump from salvation to healing. So initially, he's not talking about blind Bartimaeus. He's talking about every fallen soul on this planet. For the God of this world has done what? Blinded the minds of men, lest they would what? See. See, you got to see this for yourself. I can preach from the scriptures all day long, teach from the scriptures all day long, but at some point, the scales have to fall from your eyes. Can you say amen? Salvation is a very personal thing. Praise God. You have to see this. You have to understand your lost condition. You have to be delivered from the darkness of this world. The Bible said you've been translated out of the powers of the darkness into this, listen, glorious light. Praise God. Amen. So eyes have to be open. When Peter saw it, the Bible said flesh and blood didn't reveal this unto you, but my Father only. Can you say amen? We're so good at preaching. We think we don't need the Holy Spirit to work and to move, that we don't need to intercede and pray that people held in those prisons of darkness might come out of that darkness. We're not that good. Amen. Because no one's that good. The word is true and we can preach it well, but we need the Holy Spirit to come. Hallelujah. So that the eyes of the blind be opened. Satan, the God of this world, has blinded the minds of men. Lest what? Lest they see what you see. Lest they see what I've seen. I had a church background. Pamela didn't. And her grandmother was a great Christian, but she had no church background. And I would try before I came back to the Lord to explain to her. I came to Christ at 12. My mother and dad divorced within that 12th year. And I got bitter because of their fighting with one another and their neglecting of me. What about me? My heart is, I didn't have Nintendo. I didn't have any of those things. My world was my daddy and my mama. I used to sit and look out when I was 10 years old. My mother worked in Tampa. I would sit and look through an old screen door and watch those cars when my dad would go get her. My greatest fear is that something would happen to them on the way home and they wouldn't come home. And I would sit and watch through that screen door till I saw a blinker light come on. And I knew that they had made it home. And then I would relax. Well, when they divorced and my world crumbled and I got bitter. And in that bitterness, I lost that relationship with the Lord because it hadn't developed yet. It hadn't blossomed. I didn't understand. I knew I was lost and I had gotten saved, but I just didn't understand exactly what all of that meant, how precious it was. And I got bitter. And as I got into my teen years, when my mother remarried, my stepdad, before they got married, I knew how to play him. Because I knew that he wanted to please my mom, and I would come along with the deal. So I told him, I need a motorcycle. Bad. If I just had a motorcycle, then I could, oh man, if I just had a motorcycle. So I think I was 15 years old when we went down to a motorcycle shop, and they had a 1955 single-cylinder BSA motorcycle. Man, that thing had some miles on it. And anyway, but my stepdad-to-be wanted to impress my mom and me. That all changed after they got married. But anyway, I'm glad I got my motorcycle just before they got married. Amen. He bought that motorcycle. Man, I got that motorcycle. I got I couldn't afford a leather jacket, but I got the simulated leather jacket with all of the zippers on it, you know, to make you look cool. So I had my motorcycle, my leather jacket. I had bitterness in my heart, so I got an attitude. So I stuck a switchblade in this pocket. I made my own blackjack out of braided leather and heated a piece of lead, and then was able to form it into a ball on the end of the bladed leather, because I was little back then, before I grew so big. Amen. And I weighed a whopping 120 pounds. So I wanted some equalizer in case I had some problems with anybody. I never considered using the knife, but I many times considered whacking somebody with my ball and chain. Bang. I'm going to tell you something. God saved me just in time. When he called me home, it was just before, because I went through school with an attitude. The dean of girls came to my wife when she found out we were seeing one another. She was wearing my ring around her neck, and she came to her and she said, I hear that you are going steady with Robert Venable. And she said, yes, ma'am, I am. And she said, well, I'm going to tell you something. Gave her all these warnings, and she didn't listen. Can you say, man, I'm so glad she didn't listen to the warnings. But the warnings were correct. Said, that guy is headed for trouble. That guy is going to be either in jail or he's going to be dead or something's going, because he's got this attitude. He's got this attitude. And I had that attitude, but I wasn't as bad as the attitude that I was projecting. And my wife saw through all of that, wife-to-be, and she fell in love with me, and I fell in love with her, and we got married so early, 14 and 16. Glad none of the young people, she heard it. Close your ears. Amen. It's too young. See, I told you. No. It was awful at first because we just about starved to death. Like Kool-Aid and a bowl of soup is not my idea of a great supper. But when you're hungry, it'll do. Amen. And it did do for us. Praise God. But God got a hold of me at 12 years old. But he really got a hold of me at 21, going on 22, just before our life and marriage shipwrecked. I always tell people I didn't rob the cradle. I jumped in it with Pamela. Can you say amen? Praise God. Everything was against this marriage working. Next month, we celebrate 49 years together. Praise God. I'm so proud of that because God has done it. Listen, it wasn't Prince Charming. You know, and Sleeping Beauty going off to the castle on a white steed to live happily ever after. How many know that in a fallen world, every marriage is going to come under all kinds of pressures? If you're together today, you're a survivor of the pressures. You didn't do it without the pressure. You did it in spite of the pressure because you looked to the Lord and he gave you grace and help. Can you say amen? My wife told me the other day, she said, honey, I'm so glad we made it. I said, we're not done yet. let's stay watching. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. We haven't made it until death do us part. Until then, we want to be vigilant. Praise God. We want to be a representative of what God can do. Not how strong we are, but how mighty he is. Our marriage is safe today. Amen. Because Jesus is the Lord of our life. And we're living above the snake line. Hallelujah. Amen. If you don't give place to him, I'm going to tell you something. He can't take it. He hasn't got that authority. You have to give it to him. If you don't give it to him, he don't got it. That's not good grammar, but it's the truth. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Give no place to the devil. Proverbs 18:10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. Once you discover who he truly is, you don't run from the devil. You run to God. There's a big difference. Can you say amen? Running to God is not a cowardice. It's not some kind of weakness. It's not a weak thing, my brother and my sister. It's a wise thing. Say it with me. It's a wise thing. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and are safe. Say that word safe again. When we visited your grandmother up at the elder care place, She was very lucid. She was very talkative. She knew who we were, but she couldn't remember our names. But she knew exactly. I know you. I'm Pamela. Oh yeah, and I know you. Yeah, you're an old pastor. Praise God. Amen. She said, yes, I know that. But I had to refresh her in the name department. But we started talking about the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I said, isn't that a wonderful thought that God actually cares for us to that degree? And she said, you know, it's so wonderful that we're provided for so wonderfully. And then she said, it just makes me feel so safe. Everybody say safe in here. You know, there's no place that you can go. Used to, crime was just in the real, you know, the real bad crime was in the cities. Well, it's not just in the cities anymore. It's in the gated communities. Amen. It's in the nicest of places. You can't get away from the evil and the wickedness. You can't get away from the threats that are all around us. We're coming up on an anniversary of bin Laden being killed, and there's already chatter about the possibility of some homegrown terrorist right here. Not somebody that has to get into America, but somebody that's here in America right now wanting to do some big thing to pay back and to bring attention to their own personal cause and agenda to hurt people. We're living in a world that there's no safety, amen, in the world. No one can claim a safe place except a Christian who is abiding under the shadow of his mighty wings. There is a safe place here. Can you say amen? Does it mean nothing can go wrong? No, it means nothing can't go wrong that he doesn't allow. And if he allows it, he'll give you the grace for it. Praise God. Amen. But the devil can't do me. I like that song that came out of the Caribbean. It said, amen, the devil can't do me no harm. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Light the candle. Everything's all right. Light the candle. Everything's all right. Hallelujah. We used to sing that years ago. Listen, if you get a revelation of who he is and you put your faith in the covert of his wings, amen, there is a safe place. I'm going to define this word safe real quickly. It in the Amplified, it really brings out the Hebrew meaning, high above evil and strong. Say that with me, high above evil and strong. In the Hebrew, it means lofty. High, especially inaccessible. By implication, safety, a place that is a stronghold because it's high above. Can you say amen? Everybody say, I want to live above the snake line. Praise God. Hallelujah. God is a strong tower for his people. One translation says, a place of complete safety. Psalm 90 says, that the Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place. It begins with, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place. It's not where we visit from time to time. It's where we live our life. Can you say amen? I don't just pray when a thunderstorm comes and I'm outside. I pray anyway. Amen. I do pray when the thunderstorm comes and I'm outside. But it isn't as if I haven't been praying until there's a threat. Praise God. God doesn't want us to just run to this place. Once, a lot of times fear drives us to that place, but once we find that place, he wants us to live in that place. God doesn't want to be a God that you just run to when you're threatened. Amen. He wants you to walk with him. Amen. He wants you to talk with him daily. He wants you to live in a holy communion with him. Praise God. Amen. When I get up in the morning, I think Jesus. My first thought is Jesus. When I lay my head down at night, my last thought is Jesus. And all in between, Jesus is interwoven into my heart, my life, everything I do. When a breeze comes and I'm pulling leaves out of my gutters and I'm hot and sweaty and a breeze comes and just enough breeze to kind of refresh me, I just say, thank you, Jesus. Because I'm just crazy enough to believe that he just sent me the breeze. You say, Brother Bimble, what if a pagan was working beside you? Well, he's getting part of my blessing because he's working beside of me. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. But thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. I feel safe in the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Listen to 2 Samuel 22 as we explore this a little deeper today. 2 Samuel 22, 1 through 4. And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my rock. In him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower. And my refuge, my Savior, thou saveth me from violence. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I will call upon the Lord, for he is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Can you say amen? Because my God is a high tower. I remember one Christmas, I was in the University Square Mall, and we were shopping. I had to go to the little boys' room. It's a little confusing now because you got the bathroom, and you got the changing room for the babies, and you got the unisex room. And anyway, back then, I went to the little boys' room. I went in the little boys' room, and 18 to 22-year-olds standing right outside the door. When I went in, they came in. Well, since they all came in, I just decided I would seek the privacy of a stall. I mean, you know, you all got all these people. I thought, that's a lot of people to go to the bathroom. I mean, listen, folks. Ladies, you wouldn't think nothing of it, because when one lady goes to the bathroom, a couple more go with her. You know, a lot of times, I'll go with you. But when men go to the bathroom, you know, Terry and I have never went, you know... Men don't do that. What's up with you ladies? I don't get it. But anyway, it's okay. Somebody powders their nose while other things are occurring. But anyway, I'm in the bathroom. I go in the stall. Back then, I was for my size, I was going to the gym, and I was buff, and I happened to have on, my wife had gotten me a real leather jacket. I had on a real leather jacket, and I had been going to the gym, so I still had that pump, and I filled out that leather jacket real good, and the arms and chest, and I went in, and I shut the door, and I heard one of those guys say, let's jump him. See, they wanted to, during Christmas season, they wanted to knock me down, take my wallet, you know, and I would have been a victim of a mugging. There I was. I knew. I'm in a stall. They're right outside. They don't think I can hear them. I can hear them. Let's jump him. And the other one said, and when they said, let's jump him, I thought Jesus. I said, Jesus. Just Jesus. Jesus. And I heard the other one say, and see, this is when you know God is doing something. I heard the other one say, well, he looks like he might put up a fight. I thought, boy, have you got that wrong. If eight of you want to jump on poor old me, ain't going to be no fight. Here's my wallet. Don't kill me. Just take it. And I'll deal with the, you know, I'll cancel the credit cards later. One thing for sure, if they rob me, they ain't going to get a lot. Say amen, it's the truth. I kid you not. That'd be one of the great things about me getting robbed. They wouldn't get a whole bunch. Amen. It ain't nothing that I could say, oh, Lord, what are we going to do for groceries? No, you can't buy groceries. What's in my wallet? Amen. And all that money's done spent. Listen, but the thing is, people are mean now. Sometimes they want to hurt you for the sake of hurting you. Amen. And then another one said, and I said, Jesus again. I don't have time for some big elaborate prayer, but I know a name. Hallelujah. That is the name of the Lord is a strong tower. Amen. David said, I will call upon the name of the Lord because he's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Amen. The God that you praise is a God that you can count on and a God that will come through. I'm in there and these eight guys are standing out there, and I've heard them talk about mugging me. I'm not a big man. Amen. But they thought I looked like, listen, back then, with a leather jacket, I'd been working out. You know, and I didn't have on my preacher clothes. I had on a pair of jeans, a pair of tennis shoes, a leather jacket. And they thought this guy might fight back. If he fights back, it's going to create noise. And that's what one of them said. They said, you know, it'll make too much noise. In other words, if he fights back, it'll make too much noise. They didn't worry about whooping me, but they knew it would make a lot of noise if I fought back and resisted. Can you? And you know something? I just said it again. Jesus. And I walked out. I didn't look them in the eye, and I didn't run to the door. I walked confidently. Amen. Praise God. Like, yeah, I'm bad. I'm bad. Got outside. I went, whoo, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Went and got a security guard and told him there's about 8 guys looking for somebody to mug hanging out at the bathroom. And he went and got a deputy, and they headed down toward the bathroom to keep an eye on those boys before they mugged somebody else. But I have no doubt in the world, amen, that God delivered me from being mugged that day. Amen. I didn't have time for some elaborate prayer, but the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous do what? They run into it. And what do we find in him? We find safety. Something we can't find anywhere in this world. Not even in a bathroom at the mall can you be safe. But there's safety in Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? There's safety in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. His name is revealed that we may trust in him with an immediate and complete faith. Listen to what Psalm 20 and verse 1 says. We've got to hurry. Psalm 20 and verse 1 says, the Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend you. The name of the God of Jacob defend you. Psalm 20 and verse 7 said, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will boast in the name of the Lord our God. To boast here is to have confidence in, is to trust in. Can you say amen? In my name you will tread on serpents. In my name you shall cast out devils. In my name you shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Can you say amen? When I call on Jesus, the song says, all things are possible. In biblical times, a name represented a person's character, his attributes or nature. To know God's name is to have his character revealed. That's why they called him by those names. It's not the way he identified himself to them. It's the way they identified him when they found out something about his character and nature. When they found out God could give you peace in the time of trouble, Jehovah is his name. But they added Shalom, the Lord, our peace. When they found out that believing him to be put to our account for righteousness, they said Jehovah is his name, but they added Sikinu, the Lord our righteousness. When they found out that God would answer prayer and heal, they said Jehovah Rapha. Hallelujah. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Amen. He identified himself with what they were already saying about him, that he's a healer. Praise the Lord. To know his name is to know his character. I think Terry started this because I've been known to preach loud and long on occasion. Remember back when Dances with Wolves came out, the movie? Everybody started taking these Indian names. I guess it'd be my great-great-grandmother was full-blooded Cherokee. My dad's grandmother was Cherokee Indian. So anyway, these Indian names begin to get passed around. And I think Patty used to worship with us 20-something years. Patty Suarez took the name Tired Woman. Because she worked for GTE and they worked her all these long hours. So she was Tired Woman. I forget what Pamela, you know, played Indian name. But Terry gave me mine, I think. Thunderlips. That little preacher with that big mouth. I used to invite two guys that sit outside our church down in Sulphur Springs. They sit on a bench every morning. They were drinking beer at 10 a.m. when I was coming around to come in to preach. We live behind the church. They were already started the day, you know. Amen. I'd invite them to church. They would tell me it would fall in. I said, we'll get you a hard hat. And anyway, I led them both to Christ before they died. But we had a rapport with each other. And I was coming around to go into church and they would be sitting over there, and I said, come on in and hear the word of God. They said, oh, we can hear it. Hallelujah. Amen. He said, we listen every Sunday. we can't miss it. Praise God. I said, well, thank you, that's a compliment. Praise the Lord. Pump up the volume, somebody may be listening. Praise God. Hallelujah. Some trust in chariots, some in horses. But our safety, our security is in the name of the Lord thy God. The name of the Lord your God defends you. Because to know his name is to know something about his character that is unchanging. He's the Lord God of Israel. He changes not. Whatever he was, he is. And he always will be. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Can you say amen? What they discovered about him back then, he still is today. Can you say amen? Jehovah Rapha is still in the healing business. Jehovah Shalom can still give peace to the troubled soul. And in a troubled time, he can give you confidence and assurance. Amen. To boast in his name is to have confidence in who he is. To know God's name essentially is to know him, to know who he is. And the Bible said, they that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Amen. Our problem is today we know our theology, we know our faith, but do we know our God? That's why Paul said, oh, that I might know him. I can't go through all these. It's getting later. I've been in such peril. Paul said, I was in peril of sword. I was stoned and left for dead. So many things happened to him. But in reality, Paul was safe. He wasn't safe from trouble, but he was safe from being destroyed. He was safe from not finishing his course. He was safe from anything that was outside the permissive will of God. He was safe from. Amen. Stoned him and left him for dead. God didn't let him die. Whether he died and God raised him up, or they stoned him until he wasn't breathing and they thought he was dead and left him. He was bloodied and broken. But he got up and went on. He felt secure. Prophet came to him one time, and prophets only have part of the picture, and he gave him part of the picture, and it was an accurate picture. Prophet thought he was warning him not to go to Jerusalem. So he told him the truth. Bonds and afflictions await you in Jerusalem. All it was a confirmation of what was about to happen when he got there. He wasn't a bit afraid to go. You know what he turned and told the prophet? I'm not only ready to be put in prison, I'm ready to lay down my life if necessary. And went on to Jerusalem. Oh, but there's other times when men had covenanted to kill Paul. And they said, we won't eat or drink until he's dead. That's how committed we are to his death. We will not eat and we will not drink until he's dead. It's not long till the stomach starts to gnaw and the body starts to dehydrate. Can you say, man? They said, the quicker we kill him, the quicker we can go celebrate and eat and drink. You know what they did? This time they put him over the wall in a basket. By night, and he crept away. Amen. Sometimes it's time to stand defiantly. Sometimes it's time to just say, hey, I got enough sense not to go. There's a cotton mouth laying in the path. I'm not going to say nothing can hurt me. Do, 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 do. No, I'm going to go around it. How about you? There's a time to stand. He wasn't running. Amen. In the sense of fear, he was using wisdom. There's a big difference. Praise God. Amen. So God balances this out. But the important thing is that you know him. You call upon his name. Amen. I remember bringing a missionary to our church that we supported somewhat in Africa. And my son and I went to get her at the airport, and we brought her back to the church to address us. And they lived in the constant threat of death. I remember her telling the true story when her and her husband was taken by a tribe. and they were going to beat them to death with sticks. And one of the members of the tribe had come to Christ through someone that they had led to the Lord and knew who they were. And he stood up just before they killed them, before they started striking them, and defended them, and they let them go. One time they were in such peril that the Lord woke them up at midnight. Woke them up at midnight and said, "Move now." I mean, when you wake up at midnight with that, and your husband and wife both wake up at the same time with the same word from the Lord, you don't question. You throw stuff in the suitcase and you leave. They had come to kill them that night, but that morning, soon as daylight came, they were going to come upon them and kill them where they were. These were not people with sticks. These were people with guns. Radical Muslim with guns. But they were gone, and their children were gone, and they had to move and move quickly, and they moved, and God delivered them from the hand of the enemy. There are martyrs that gave their life for the gospel, but they were safe. Fox's Book of Martyrs, they were taking Christians bound to a high precipice to cast them down and kill them by throwing them off a cliff. One eyewitness to that occasion said, as they took them up to throw them off, their faces shone. You talked about Pamela's face. In this condition, they were safe. Because Jehovah Shalom was with them. They had peace that passes understanding. I don't understand that kind of peace, but I don't need it right now. But if I needed it, God would grant it to me. And he said their faces shone like the faces of angels. They were not filled with fear and trepidation. Why? Because the name of the Lord is defending them. Not from anything ever happening, but no matter what happens, he's with you. Oh, hallelujah. He's with you. Little girl in our Sunday school department attacked by a pit bull. Stitches. 20, 15, 11. But she's alive. The leg first, then the arm, and then the body. Headed for what? The neck. Aren't you proud of these two little girls that defended her instead of running? They just grabbed rocks and bricks and a water hose. Pit bull don't care nothing about no rock, no brick. He don't like no bath. He has an issue with that. Thank God a water hose. You think God didn't tell somebody what to do? Can you say, man? Hallelujah. God is, God. Listen, we live in a fallen world. And things will befall people in a fallen world. And I don't know what may happen to anybody, but I know one thing. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. There's a safe place for me. There's a safe place for you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Thou hast been our dwelling place, Psalm 90 said, throughout all generations. And Psalm 91 carries on that thought. And it said, because thou hast made the Lord thy God thy habitation. That's where you live, friend. That's not just where you run. Oh, I go to him in a particular, peculiar way when I'm deeply threatened. But it's not that I have been waiting for a threat to drive me to him. Love draws me to him. On the best day of my life, I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Come, O blessed Savior. It's a beautiful thought to live and dwell in him. Praise God. Some people show up at church, and when they do, I say, boy, they must be in deep trouble. Something they're facing that is really great, because you don't see them any other time. But when deep trouble comes, they come looking for the Lord, looking for a touch. I'm going to tell you one great thing about God. He don't care what brings you home, just so you come back. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Israel would go away from God and get into deep trouble. Amen. And then they would come back. Did they deserve? No. It's their own fault. It's their own folly. But every time they came back, he received them. Every time they came back, he restored them. I got a message for the backslider. Come on home. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's not where you've been that God's so concerned about. It's where you, what you're going to do about where you are. And when you get back home, he's going to begin a work of restoration. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Oh, when God delivered them up out of Babylon, amen, the Bible said we were as those that dream. It was too good to be true. Praise God. When we started walking back out of Babylon, it's like a dream that this could even happen. Then we saw what God was doing. Then was our mouth filled with song and our tongues filled with laughter. Can you say amen? When God turned again the captivity of Zion. I'm going to tell you something today. I believe God wants to turn again the captivity of Zion, his church in the world today. Spiritual Zion, hallelujah, is in for a blessing. If we come back to God, God is going to come back to us. Hallelujah. Woo! I can't wait to preach repentance to anybody that'll listen. You know why? Because repentance brings restoration. And restoration means those blessings that have been forfeited because of compromise and sin are now going to find us and overtake us. I expect to be blessed. Remember when they lost the ark in battle at Shiloh through their own folly and disobedience? The Philistines didn't want it. You know, God is God. And nothing they say is going to change the fact. They thought they defeated Israel. They got the ark in their possession. They take it into the temple of Dagon. Their god, half fish and half man. This huge, huge idol. This statue. This huge, mighty god of Egypt. They put this ark, this gopher wood ark, with the gold top, with angels, seraphim, looking down at the mercy seat. And they sit it down. God's people had compromised, so they lost it in battle, and they lost the battle. But God is still God. And he still defends himself, praise God. And his name is still exalted. And they thought, we got the ark. They got the shaft. Amen. Amen. We got the gold mine. They put it in front of their god as a trophy. Offering it as a trophy of war. Got up the next morning, went into the priests to do their priestly duties before their false god. And that mighty statue had fallen and was laying prostrate before the Ark of the Covenant. And they said, what's going on here? They get hoist and they raise that big statue back up. Another day goes by. That thing had fallen again. This time it broke into pieces. And the ark's just sitting there. The Ark of the Covenant. Amen. And then plagues begin to come on Egypt. Can you say amen? All kinds of problems begin to arise. It got so bad. Amen. It got so bad. They put the ark, amen, on a cart very carefully. And then they headed it back to Israel. Hallelujah. Amen. And a man took it, found it on that ark, and he knew what this thing was. He put it in his house. Amen. Took it to his house to make sure nothing happened to it. And in the interim, between the time that David went to fetch it and it was in that man's house, all kinds of blessing. They said, man, that man's, the blessings of the Lord are all over that man. Because he was honoring, revering the Ark of the Covenant. Oh, Shalabakosite. You know what this is right here? What this is? There's a part of this Bible called the New Testament. In the actual Greek, it's the New Testament. Covenant. the new covenant. When I receive this word into my heart and act upon it, I want you to know the Ark of the Covenant, in the sense of God's favor, is resting on this little fellow right here and right now. Praise God. That's why, amen, when a truck turned over at Tampa Electric and I'm in it, that I walked away unscathed. That's why I came out of that bathroom. That's why the guy that called me on the phone and wanted to kill me, and I called the sheriff's department, amen, and told them, and they said, we can't do anything till he does something. Amen. I almost lost my cool. I said, wait a minute. The guy is calling my house telling that he's going to kill me. And you can't even talk to him. You can't even go out and tell him if he dies, we're coming to get you. Oh, well, if you were the president of the United States. I said, And you know what I had to do? I couldn't go to the sheriff. I couldn't go to the highway patrol. Couldn't go to the Temple Terrace Police Department. You know what I had to do? I had to run to the rock, the name of the Lord. Did you have a gun? Yes. Was it loaded? Yes. Did you pack it? No. Why? Because I serve a God. Amen. Listen to me. I didn't have to put my holster back here and take it in the church house. Talking about my God. Can you say amen? But every time I come out of the church house, I'm going to tell you the truth. I did look both ways. Because I can not only run to God, I can run, period. If I see a guy with a 44, I'm not going to stand there. Amen. I'm going to say, feet, don't fail me now. Hallelujah. But I didn't have to run. And then I started praying for the guy. Pray for your enemies. I said, Lord, I pray for this man. Praise God. Amen. A few weeks later, I got a phone call from the guy that had called my family and talked so nasty, filthy, dirty to my children, my wife, filthy stuff, and then threatened to kill me every time. Amen. Had to have my phone number changed. But I'm going to tell you, I got a call to the church phone, and it was that guy on the other end. And he said, Pastor Venable, he said, I want you to forgive me. I am so sorry. I was so angry. But there was a guy that had done time in prison with a guy that I had to discipline at church, and he was mad at me and wanted me dead. Listen, but God wanted me to live. Praise the Lord. And when I put my trust in that name, the name of the Lord God of Israel, defend thee. Praise God. And not only did God defend me, but God took the wrath out of his heart. Amen. The greatest defense I had is when God changed him and his attitude toward me. And I said, sir, you are forgiven. And I told him about his need for a Christ that could forgive every sin he's ever committed. And love him like he's never been loved. I have no evidence that he received Jesus. But I know God touched his heart concerning me. Praise the Lord. God has been good to me. God has been good to me. God has been good to me. The name of the Lord God of Israel defend you. Now, we got to stop right here because we got some names here. I call them redemptive names. In particular, Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord will provide. Jehovah Nissi, which means the Lord is our banner. And we're going to get into this one day soon. Jehovah Shalom means the Lord is our peace. And it's all here in the scriptures. Jehovah Sikkenu means the Lord is our righteousness. Jeremiah 23:5-6. And so many other scriptures in the new covenant. Jehovah Shammah. The promise of his presence. It means the Lord is there. I'll never leave you nor forsake you, Jesus said. But I'll go with you all the way. Hallelujah. Praise God. Jehovah Rapha. The Lord is our doctor. The Lord is our physician. Jehovah Ra. The Lord is our shepherd. By the way, in Psalm 23, all of these other names of God are incorporated. It's so beautiful. The Lord is my shepherd, Jehovah Ra. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters, Jehovah Shalom, because he's my peace. He restores my soul because he's Jehovah Rapha. Hallelujah. He leads me in path of righteousness for his name's sake because he's Jehovah Sikkenu. Amen. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. Thy rod and staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. He's Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner in battle. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in his house forever when this life is over. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And by the way, just a little P.S. There's one name that incorporates every revelation of God in the Old Testament. For the Bible said in Jesus Christ, in him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. The personification of all that God was and is and ever will be was personified when Jesus came. Hallelujah. He showed us the Father. Praise God. Hallelujah. When I call on Jesus, all things are possible. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. How many want to live above the snake line? Amen. Hallelujah. As it is written, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You have no need to fear, my children, for I am with thee, and I will keep thee in all of thy ways, lest thou dash thy foot upon a stone. Dale, when that car crossed the center line and hit you, there were some bruises and cuts, but just a little more. They say it's better to hit a brick wall. Highway Patrol at their safety course says, if you're looking at a head-on collision, you're out there on 301, you're out there on 39 headed for Zephyr, wherever you are, and a car crosses the center line, go off the road, hit a power pole at 60 miles an hour, bounce off of it, go in the ditch, roll over, but don't hit head-on. Two cars doing 60 is like hitting a brick wall at 120. If that car had hit you head on, I believe God intervened. Did you get a few bruises? Did you get some cuts? Did it scare you like crazy? Yes. Did God bring you through? You had a passenger on board. Who was it? Kayla. Amen. Did she get anything? No. God shows up. God intervenes. God keeps what we commit unto him. The more I know about him, the more secure I feel. Woo! Say, Brother Bremmel, what if the terrorists come to Plant City and blow up Sweet Bay while you're in it? God is with me. If he wants me to come back here and preach, somebody gonna walk out of that Sweet Bay. Can you say amen in spite of the bomb? If he says I finished my course, somebody's going to have an instant death, instant glory. One thing for sure, when I'm shopping in Sweet Bay, I'm safe, terrorist or no terrorist. Can you say amen? The name of the Lord God of Israel is a strong tower. The righteous runneth through it and are what? Safe. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm so glad to be safe in him today. Hallelujah. Praise God. Heavenly Father, let's give him some praise today. My peace, not like the world gives. I am not you. I can only speak for me. But if I were you, then I'd be me. Can you say amen? I'd be speaking for me. Listen, I would get as close to God as I possibly could. I would live close to Christ. Can you say amen? It's the only real safe place spiritually for your spirit, soul, mind, and body. Praise God. I'm glad I know him today. I'm glad he knows me today. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. I don't want to just have threats drive me to him. I want his love to to draw me to him. Can you say, man, he that abideth, Psalm 91, in the secret place of the Most High, he that dwelleth in the secret place to the Most High shall abide under the shadow of his wings. Can you just see those wings uplifted, hovering over you? Amen. And knowing you're in the shadow of his wings, what happens to when it thunders and baby chicks see that mother lift those wings? What do? Instinctively, they run to the mother. What does she do when they get there? She closes those wings over them. And then the storm can blow on, praise God, because they're feeling the downy warmth of their mother's breast, and they're listening to her heartbeat, and every heartbeat is beating out of instinctive maternal love for those chicks. A fire, true story, swept through where a farm was, one of those brush fires, and it swept through, and the man and his wife had to leave their home, and the home burned to the ground, the stock burned up, and he came back looking for any living thing or anything to preserve from this flash brush fire that swept through with the winds whipping it. Out in the chicken yard, they were charred from the heat of it that is just swept across the land. And he heard something. There's a mama chicken laying there with her wings out like this. He flipped over her charred body, and underneath there were six little chicks, safe, because the mother had covered them with her body till the fire passed over. Praise God. Listen, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow. Can you see it? Of the Almighty. Jesus stood over Jerusalem and he said, if you just run to me instead of running from me, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that stoned the prophets, kill them that are sent to tell you how much God wants to restore you, how much he loves you. How many times would I have taken you under my wings like a mother hen does her chicks, but you wouldn't let me? Well, honey, he's looking at somebody that's going to let him this morning. Can you say, man, how about you? I'm going to let him cover me. Praise God, I'm going to let him keep me. Oh, if there's one thing I'm not ashamed of, is that I am weak, but he is strong. Jesus, keep me from all harm. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. That's not just an admission of my weakness. It's a testimony to where my real strength lies. Praise God. I'm not working out like I used to. I don't look as bad, B-A-D, as in good, amen, as I used to. But the name of the Lord is still defending me. Praise God. Hallelujah. Did I hand you something? Amen. Let's give him praise. How many people want to just get close to him? Is he drawing you closer? You just want to abide under the shadow, to live in that place, amen, in the Lord. How many glad you came to church to be challenged, to get close to God and stay close to God? Hallelujah. How many expect under those wings? Here's how I pray for you. The last thing I pray, Lord, hide them in your pavilion. I pray, Lord, spread your skirt over them. Lord, cover them with the covering of your spirit. Praise the Lord. And Lord, hide them in the covert of your wings and bless them with all the blessings that lie underneath. So I don't know what you're expecting, but if I'm expecting God to hear and answer prayers for people that I know love him, that I know have the struggles that I have, that are upstream Christians in a downstream world, but I believe that God is going to move in homes, in marriages, in lives, and I believe that blessings are going to start appearing and occurring as we pursue him. Praise the Lord, as we get closer to him. Praise God. Amen. I believe you're going to find yourself in a safe place where the enemy can't reach you no more, can't take from you anymore, can't defraud you of that God has promised to give you any longer. Praise God. I believe in a God of restoration. Hallelujah. I believe he's going to give you back the years that the caterpillar, cankerworm, palmer worm, and locust have eaten. Praise God. I believe he's going to send the former and the latter rain. Hallelujah. To make up for the barren years. Praise the Lord. Rain out of season so that the crops will have bumper crops. Send down the rain, Lord. Send down the latter rain. Praise God. Times of refreshing from the hand of the Lord. There's no point in me praying for you if I don't expect things to occur. What would be the point of praying? Amen. Maybe you've just kind of given up, given over, given in. Well, listen, somebody's interceding. Me and Jesus. Me and Jesus. Me and Jesus, me and Jesus, me and Jesus, me and Jesus. Hallelujah. And I've got confidence that he hears prayers of intercession. Hallelujah. Because he said, I look for a man among them. I look for somebody to stand up in somebody else's behalf. I look for a man among them that would stand in the gap, that would make up the hedge. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? The devil wants to do you harm, but Jesus said, I prayed for you. Can you say amen? He wants to sift you, but Jesus wants to lift you. Hallelujah. And deliver you, set you free, and bring you to a place of safety. God is my defender. Say it with me. God is my defender. Hallelujah. We've had across the board here, people have lifted their hands and opened their hearts. I believe God is going to invade your life with blessings and mine in Jesus' name.